The Glass Closet by Lord John Brown is a groundbreaking exploration of LGBT inclusion in the workplace that has become required reading in corporate boardrooms worldwide. When former BP CEO Lord Brown was publicly outed in 2007 after 41 years of hiding his sexuality, he transformed his personal catastrophe into a mission to help others avoid similar pain. The book has been embraced by Fortune 500 executives seeking to understand LGBT workplace challenges, with Tim Cook citing it as influential before his own historic coming out as Apple CEO. Brown's unique perspective as someone who rose to the pinnacle of corporate power while closeted offers both cautionary tale and roadmap for creating more inclusive workplaces, making this not just a memoir, but a practical guide for organizational change. For over four decades, John Brown lived a carefully compartmentalized existence. As he rose through BP's ranks to become CEO, he maintained a rigid separation between his professional and personal lives. The strain of this double existence culminated in May 2007 when tabloids exposed his relationship with a former male escort. Rather than slipping away through a side exit after announcing his resignation, Brown chose to face the waiting photographers at BP headquarters' main entrance. His carefully constructed facade finally shattered. The crisis had begun months earlier when his former partner Jeff Chevalier, whom Brown had met through an escort website in 2003, sold their story to newspapers after financial support ended. Even when confronted, Brown couldn't bring himself to be honest, fabricating a story about meeting Jeff while jogging in Battersea Park. This deception, more than the relationship itself, ultimately forced his resignation after 41 years at BP, where he had led the company for 12 years and quintupled its market value. Brown's refusal to acknowledge his sexuality stemmed from deep insecurity that began in his youth. At King's School Ely, homosexuality was met with silent expulsion. His worldly parents never discussed sexuality. His English father remained stoic, while his mother, an Auschwitz survivor, believed weakness must be hidden. This pattern of concealment continued at Cambridge University and throughout his career at BP, where he channeled identity frustration into work. As his professional stature grew, so did his fear of exposure. When he encountered a man from a gay club in a BP corridor, they silently agreed to pretend not to know each other. After becoming CEO, he considered personal discretion vital to BP's interests, particularly with business in socially conservative countries. His mother lived with him from 1986 until her death in 2000, becoming both a surrogate partner and professional asset at company events. Her passing left him desperately lonely, eventually leading him to seek companionship online with disastrous consequences. The aftermath of his resignation was physically and emotionally devastating. Brown dropped to 58 kilograms, smoking instead of eating. Yet, amid the crisis, he found unexpected support. After delivering a scheduled lecture in Brussels days after his resignation, he received a standing ovation. Thousands of supportive letters arrived from friends, colleagues, and strangers sharing their own stories of being outed. Rather than retreating, Brown rebuilt his life. Though some organizations like Goldman Sachs accepted his resignation without comment and Walmart withdrew a board offer citing religious concerns in Arkansas, others like APAC's partners and the Royal Academy of Engineering wanted him to remain. He joined Riverstone, a private energy-focused private equity firm, and found that most people treated his coming out as a non-event. A month after resigning, he met Nee, a 32-year-old man who became his partner. They've been together since June 1, 2007. To understand modern workplace homophobia, we must recognize its historical roots. Ancient civilizations celebrated same-sex relationships through mythology and culture. Greek gods like Apollo had male lovers, while Zeus himself abducted the beautiful mortal Ganymede as his cupbearer and bedmate. These myths reflected and validated the sexual diversity of their societies. This cultural acceptance eventually gave way to religious persecution. The interpretation of Leviticus led to extraordinary repression, with homosexual acts blamed for natural disasters. Emperor Justinian I issued an edict in 538 calling for execution of those engaging in gay sexual acts, blaming them for famines, earthquakes, and pestilences. Following the bubonic plague, homosexuals became convenient scapegoats. Public bodies were established to eradicate anyone engaging in gay sex, with accused individuals tortured, publicly castrated, and burned at stake. By the 17th century, homosexual acts were criminalized throughout Europe. This persecution reached its modern nadir during the Third Reich. The Nazis systematically persecuted homosexuals, marking them with pink triangles in concentration camps. Authorities arrested approximately 100,000 suspected homosexuals and imprisoned half of them. Between 1934 and 1941, officials castrated more than 2,000 sex offenders, including many homosexuals. Guards frequently gave gay prisoners more difficult work assignments, resulting in higher death rates. Less than 40% survived. Unlike other survivors, homosexuals received no reparations after the war and were sometimes rearrested. Throughout the 20th century, gay people were subjected to lobotomies and electroshock therapy as cures. The American Psychiatric Association classified homosexuality as a sociopathic personality disturbance in 1952, reinforcing prejudice. In both America and Britain, homosexuality remained criminalized until the late 1960s, with police raids on gay establishments common. The 1969 Stonewall riots marked a turning point when patrons of a Greenwich Village bar finally fought back against police harassment. Media representation has played a crucial role in changing attitudes. In 1986, BBC's EastEnders introduced sympathetic gay characters amid the AIDS crisis, showing them in everyday settings rather than just bedrooms or hospitals. This sparked outrage. Tabloids ran headlines like, "Filth! Get this off our screens!" MPs questioned the portrayal, and actor Michael Cashman faced violence. In America, Ellen DeGeneres revolutionized television by coming out both personally and through her sitcom character in 1997, telling Time magazine she wanted to show the diversity of gay people beyond stereotypes. Despite significant progress, for millions of gay people in countries that criminalize homosexuality, fear and persecution remain daily realities. 77 countries still outlaw homosexual acts, with 5 imposing the death penalty. Uganda's Kill the Gays Bill sought to expand existing laws with death penalties for aggravated homosexuality. In Russia, Putin's 2013 propaganda bill imposed fines and jail terms on those providing information that suggests gay and straight relationships are socially equivalent. Despite dramatic shifts in public opinion and corporate policies, many LGBT employees remain closeted at work. Though 90% of Fortune 500 companies have anti-discrimination policies, an estimated 41% of LGBT employees in the U.S. and 34% in the U.K. still hide their sexual orientation, primarily fearing career damage. The absence of openly gay CEOs in the Fortune 500 reflects not a lack of talent, but issues of self-selection and inclusion. The personal toll of remaining closeted is enormous. Employees like George calculate that even a 1% risk of career damage is too great. Many LGBT employees modify aspects of their appearance or social activities to pass as straight. The constant vigilance, lying, and fear create barriers with colleagues and drain energy that could be directed toward productive work. As Brown's career advanced, his fear of discovery intensified. When he became BP's CEO in 1995, his profile grew significantly, especially after BP acquired Amoco in 1998. Security personnel stayed in adjacent hotel rooms, waking when his door opened. His closet door was now nailed shut. Despite championing diversity at BP and including same-sex partner benefits, unlike Exxon, which had eliminated Mobil's benefits after their merger, Brown carefully managed his public identity. He deflected personal questions in interviews, giving the impression he was a bachelor who hadn't met the right woman. When directly asked by the Financial Times if he was gay, he replied, "You have got the wrong man there." When invited to appear on BBC's Desert Island Discs in 2006, Brown briefly considered using the platform to come out, but his courage faltered. BP's head of press ensured his sexuality wouldn't be probed during the interview. Instead, Brown discussed classical music and shared sanitized personal stories while his double life continued to wear him down. The stories of young people still hiding in the closet make Brown both angry at societal pressure and sad about the consequences. He recognizes now that closeted employees lack perspective about the limits and corrosive effects of a double life on both work and personal relationships. Despite corporations setting up diversity programs, minorities remain underrepresented, especially in boardrooms dominated by straight white men. The representation of LGBT people on boards isn't measured, though openly lesbian executives like Sally Sussman have been appointed to boards like WPP. Headhunters debate whether the situation is improving. Some see no prejudice, while others note boards seek kindred spirits. This conservatism may explain why there were no openly gay FTC 100 CEOs in late 2013. We all harbor unconscious biases absorbed from society that shape our behavior toward different groups. The implicit association test reveals most heterosexuals show preference for straight people over gay people. These biases form early through heteronormative media, religious teachings, and stereotypes about gay people. Research shows these biases affect employment. Gay male applicants were 40% less likely to receive interviews than equally qualified heterosexual candidates, particularly for job-seeking assertive traits. Studies consistently show gay men earn 7 to 32% less than straight male colleagues, while straight married men receive wage premiums. Interestingly, lesbians tend to earn more than heterosexual women, possibly because they work longer hours, have higher qualifications, and are less likely to have children. Beyond financial consequences, homophobic managers create toxic environments for gay employees. Hillary faced humiliation when her manager joked about her having a muscular boyfriend, despite knowing she was lesbian. Aiden Dennis Gilligan endured sexually aggressive pranks and homophobic slurs at his Brussels PR firm, including public humiliation by his boss. Religious beliefs sometimes fuel workplace homophobia, as Margaret Regan discovered when a client executive lectured her team about hating the sin but loving the sinner. Transgender employees face the harshest discrimination, with 90% reporting harassment and twice the national unemployment rate. Vandy Beth Glenn was immediately fired after announcing her transition despite good performance. Even successful business owners like Bob Page of Replacements Limited face boycotts and vandalism for being openly gay. With legislative progress and changing attitudes, workplace discrimination is increasingly about individual prejudice rather than institutional culture. Coming out still presents challenges. It requires admitting to having misled colleagues, but the benefits increasingly outweigh the risks. Supporting LGBT equality makes good business sense because inclusion allows the best talent to rise. Companies increasingly recognize that respecting diversity of sexual orientation is strategically important in the global competition for talent. By 2013, 278 employers supported equal marriage in a Supreme Court brief, arguing that DOMA created workplace inequality. Companies like Starbucks have stood firm despite boycott threats, with CEO Howard Schultz telling critical shareholders that not every decision is an economic decision and defending the company's 38% return. Similarly, Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein supported same-sex marriage despite losing a major client, explaining that creating an inviting workplace gives his company a competitive advantage in recruiting talent. Companies pay a heavy price when employees remain closeted. Louise Young, an activist who founded Texas Instruments LGBT Resource Group, created a productivity index showing a 10% productivity loss for closeted employees. At Raytheon, she convinced executives by asking them to imagine removing all family photos and wedding bands, avoiding personal conversations, and fearing job loss. Then consider their productivity. Tom Johnson, Clorox's chief accounting officer, spent 9 years closeted, feeling trapped and self-censoring his ideas through fear of exposure. Studies confirm that closeted employees report higher rates of depression, 44% versus 25% for out employees, and lower job satisfaction. As Standard Chartered CEO Peter Sands notes, keeping employees closeted is miserable for individuals and bad for business because it cripples talent. Living with a concealed identity like being gay develops unique skills that can benefit businesses. Those who grow up hiding their sexuality often develop heightened perception, adaptability, creativity, and intuition. They become experts at reading people and situations, skills honed through necessity for survival and finding potential partners. Kirk Snyder's 5-year study of 3,000 employees found that those working under gay managers reported significantly higher job satisfaction. These managers weren't valued for their orientation, but for a leadership style characterized by greater empathy and valuing diversity, likely developed through their own experiences of adversity. Marketing to LGBT consumers represents a significant opportunity, with buying power reaching $830 billion in the U.S. by 2013 and $70 billion in the U.K. Companies like JCPenney, Miller Coors, and Gap have all created LGBT-inclusive campaigns, recognizing that such advertising signals a forward-thinking brand to younger consumers. However, LGBT consumers increasingly seek sincere commitment rather than gimmicks. Consulting resources like HRC's Buying for Workplace Equality Guide when making purchasing decisions. For John Brown, coming out happened in reverse, exposed by newspapers rather than on his own terms. Yet this forced disclosure ultimately became a blessing, allowing his previously separate lives to merge into one complete person. He reflects that the paranoia of closeted life clouds judgment, causing people to exaggerate homophobia and wait for a perfect moment that never arrives. Mike Feldman spent 15 years closeted at Hewlett-Packard, haunted by memories like his mother's disapproving comment about gay men. His secrecy made colleagues view him either as one-dimensional or untrustworthy. The turning point came when his company sponsored an LGBT workplace equality organization. Though nervous about his conservative manager's reaction, Feldman came out via email and received a supportive response. This buffer allowed both parties to process emotions privately. After coming out, Feldman formed more meaningful relationships and was promoted 3 times. Beth Brook, Ernst & Young's global vice chair, remained closeted for 52 years despite her professional success. After being asked to appear in a Trevor Project video initially as a straight supporter, she chose authenticity instead, revealing, "I'm gay and I struggled with that for many years." When she came out publicly at an awards ceremony, she received a 5-minute standing ovation that moved her to tears. Having expected criticism for hiding so long, she instead found respect from the LGBT community, who understood that every person comes out in their own time, in their own terms. Coming out experiences vary widely by location, potentially risking mere embarrassment in London, but physical danger in places like Moscow or Kampala. For those in supportive environments, the consequences are rarely as bad as feared. Antonio Samoz, a senior banker at HSBC who came out in 2000, considers his sexual orientation an asset that boosted his reputation, created a cool factor, and helped build trust with colleagues through authenticity. In 2002, Mark Stump, chief investment officer at Prudential Financial subsidiary, revealed plans to become Maggie. Despite initial shock from colleagues, Stump approached her transition as a business issue, temporarily stepping back from client-facing roles. Though she worried clients might question her stability, most were unconcerned. Over the next decade, assets under her management grew from $32 billion to over $100 billion, proving that transitioning will not put business at risk or make customers uncomfortable. many LGBT employees remain closeted, fearing they'll make colleagues uncomfortable. Julia Hoggett takes control of her identity by mentioning her family when colleagues mention theirs. Diversity consultant Rosalind Taylor O'Neill always mentions her wife in first conversations with new clients, refusing to pass for anything she's not, a lesson learned from her aunt who passed as white and missed her own sister's funeral. Despite losing some clients, O'Neill prefers knowing where she stands. The publishing sector shows remarkable acceptance of LGBT employees. David Shelley at Little Brown has never experienced workplace discrimination in his 15-year career working with best-selling authors. Similarly, Guy Black of Telegraph Media Group reports no anti-gay attitudes in newspapers, while Thomas Gensimer found digital startups particularly welcoming. This acceptance creates a virtuous circle. Visible gay employees encourage others to come out. Politics has made radical progress in LGBT acceptance. Klaus Wowereit pioneered a slow outing strategy in Germany, but circumstances forced him to address his sexuality publicly before an election. In June 2001, as the newly appointed acting mayor of Berlin and frontrunner in upcoming elections, he decided to preempt tabloid exposure by declaring, "Ich bin schwul und das ist auch gut so," I'm gay and that's okay, at a party convention. Despite opponents claiming his sexuality demonstrated deformed character, voters elected him mayor. Professional sports remains far behind business in LGBT acceptance, with most teams worldwide lacking openly gay players. When NBA player Jason Collins came out in 2013, he became the first active player in major American sports leagues to do so. European soccer faces similar challenges, with no openly gay players in top leagues by 2013. Thomas Hitzlsperger, former German national team player, discussed his sexuality with the author before coming out after retirement in January 2014, explaining, "I'm coming out about my homosexuality because I want to move the discussion about homosexuality among professional sports people forward." The legal profession has made significant progress in LGBT inclusion, though challenges remain. Adrian Fulford, appointed to the High Court bench in 2002 and later to the Court of Appeal, faced early career obstacles as an openly gay man in the late 1970s, including cold shoulders from colleagues and hostile interrogations. His success came thanks to open-minded leadership that evaluated him on merit rather than sexual orientation. A recent UK study revealed only 1 in 4 lesbians and 1 in 10 gay men are fully out in their law firms, with less than half reporting openly LGBT role models. While governments can nudge and legislate for social change, only individuals and institutions can implement it. Businesses, designed to solve problems, are uniquely positioned to shatter the glass closet through effective leadership and practical measures. Companies must move beyond merely enacting LGBT-friendly policies to creating cultures where inclusion is embedded in employee thoughts and behaviors. Leadership must set clear direction for LGBT inclusion, beginning with corporate leaders publicly supporting equality. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act, CEOs like Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Tim Cook of Apple issued supportive statements. Antonio Simons of HSBC regularly speaks about LGBT issues, noting that even in diverse cities, there are employees who need reassurance that difference is valued. Leadership must set clear direction for LGBT inclusion, beginning with corporate leaders publicly supporting equality. When the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act, CEOs like Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Tim Cook of Apple issued supportive statements. Antonio Simons of HSBC regularly speaks about LGBT issues, noting that even in diverse cities, there are employees who need reassurance that difference is valued. Heterosexual advocates are often the most effective champions for LGBT inclusion. Renee Brown of Wells Fargo notes that straight active allies drive change because it's the straight people who are married that can start changing people's perspectives. Companies formalize ally programs through visible symbols. Accenture employees use supportive email footers, Goldman Sachs staff display rainbow ally tents on desks, and Walmart executives wear rainbow pins. Companies increasingly track sexual orientation and gender identity data to measure inclusion progress, just as they've long monitored women and ethnic minorities' career advancement. According to the Human Rights Campaign's 2014 Corporate Equality Index, nearly half of rated employers allowed confidential disclosure of sexual orientation and gender identity, up from just 16% in 2006. LGBT employees face heightened challenges in conservative countries, requiring careful navigation. IBM maintains consistent non-discrimination policies across all 170 countries where it operates, prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation even in African and Middle Eastern nations. This sends a strong message to governments who recognize these companies' economic importance. Lord Brown reflects on his personal journey, having felt trapped in secrecy for most of his adult life, despite transforming BP into the world's third largest company. His sexuality didn't harm his career, but hiding it caused profound unhappiness. He remained closeted even as society changed around him, as the UK military lifted its gay ban, age of consent laws equalized, and politicians began coming out. Since Brown's 2007 outing, societal progress has accelerated dramatically. Those with the opportunity to live freely should seize it. Business has created this vision, but it requires LGBT people and allies to nurture it. Gay people shouldn't sacrifice happiness to appease antiquated beliefs. Coming out may seem terrifying, but as someone who experienced it publicly, Brown affirms it forces honesty, transparency, and bravery. Qualities that serve well regardless of career stage. Generational change is naturally solving many LGBT inclusion challenges. As opponents of gay rights literally die out, younger people are coming out earlier and entering business with unprecedented confidence. While many interviewed still preferred anonymity to avoid career repercussions, progress is inevitable. In 25 years, today's openly gay employees will become tomorrow's role model executives. However, change requires constant attention beyond just waiting for time to pass. Companies must implement practical policies, resource groups, and ally programs, but these alone aren't sufficient. They need leaders with deep understanding of authenticity and the emotional investment required for LGBT employees to feel comfortable being out at work. The freedom LGBT people now enjoy stems from centuries of sacrifice, from those burned at the stake during the Middle Ages to Nazi victims and those still oppressed worldwide. Progress is never even or permanent, requiring vigilance against history's recurring tragedies of minority persecution. Companies fostering inclusive environments aren't just creating better workplaces, but healthier societies that honor these historical struggles. Taking that step to come out shatters the glass closet and reveals life's true beauty, allowing one to think bigger, aim higher, and be twice the person they were while hiding. As Brown discovered after his own painful outing, the view from outside the closet, though initially terrifying, ultimately offers a perspective on life that is infinitely more rewarding than the safety of secrecy.